Okay, without further ado, let's go to the Word. We are going to look at from Book of Acts, chapter 7. We've been kind of studying Book of Acts together. Book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 54 through chapter 8, verse 3. Once again, it's the Book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 54 through chapter 8, verse 3.
And we have it up there.
Okay. Yeah, today I wanted to read the Passion Translation. It's really good. I like it. So it goes like this. Don't you know that it is my hands that have built my house, not yours? Why would you be so stubborn as to close your hearts and your ears to me? You're always opposing the Holy Spirit, just like your forefathers, which prophet was not persecuted and murdered by your ancestors? Name just one. They killed them all, even the ones who prophesied long ago of the coming of the righteous one. Now you follow in their steps and have become their betrayer and murderers. You have been given the law by the visitation of angels, but you have not obeyed it. When they heard these things, they were overtaken with a violent rage, filling their souls. They gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, overtaken with great faith, was full of the Holy Spirit. He fixed his gaze into the heavenly realm and saw the glory and the splendor of God and Jesus, who stood up at the right hand of God. Look, Stephen said, I can see the heavens opening and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God to welcome me home. I just love that. His accusers covered their ears with their hands and screamed at the top of their lungs to draw out his voice. Then they pounced on him and threw him outside the city walls to stone him. His accusers, one by one, placed their outer garments at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus. As they hurled stone after stone at him, Stephen prayed, "Our Lord Jesus, accept my spirit into your presence." He crumbled to his knees and shouted in a loud voice, "Our Lord, don't hold this sin against them." And then he died. Chapter 8. Now Saul agreed to be an accomplice to Stephen's stoning and participated in his execution. From that day on, a great persecution of the church in Jerusalem began. All the believers scattered into the countryside of Judea and among the Samaritans, except the apostles who remained behind in Jerusalem. God-fearing man gave Stephen a proper burial and mourned greatly over his death. Then Saul mercilessly persecuted the church of God, going from house to house into the homes of believers to arrest both men and women and drag them off to prison. Amen. Today I want to talk about the unlikely beginning. Unlikely beginning. What is unlikely beginning? Think about a movie that you went to watch at theater and at first 20 minutes, it just sucks. And you're just wondering, you know, what good can come out of this movie? How can it get any better, right? And for those of you gamers community, right, play the League of Legends, LoL, or Dota, right? You first 10 minutes, right? You know, one player, a noob, and you just feed like 10 times. You're like, oh my goodness, like, you know, this game is going to be a bad game, right? You're losing your ratings, right? You know, or it can be life, right? Unlikely beginning can be a life, life that your life or anyone's life that is filled with stories. Stories that is, you know, marked with hatred, betrayals, abandonments. Maybe some of you are just really heartbroken by it even now. You know, maybe this year will be unlikely beginning. You're expecting you know, good things to come out of this year, and then boom, year 2018 starts and you're like, okay, where is this thing going? And your heart is just really like disappointed and filled with discouragement. And you know, you graduated and then you're like, now what? You know, you just don't know what to come out of it. You know, some of you know, maybe a lot of you don't know, but my father is a missionary, so I grew up in Honduras. Ever since I was 12, I grew up in Honduras, and si hablo español, I speak Spanish, right? And you know, I grew up there, and you know, my first actually my entire years of Honduras. After I graduated from high school until I came to United States for college, I was looking back at it. I was like, I called it dark ages of my life, right? Dark ages. I was horrible. You know, I really didn't like it. You know, they didn't have that many Asians there, and then they always follow me, Gino or the Pepino, Gino or the Pepino, like, and then they always there. I was 12, and I really didn't like it, and I get on the public bus, and they always look at me, like, you know, until I get off. And one time I really didn't like it. It was bothering me, and I was coming back home from school, and then I said, you know what, the bus is about to, you know, bus stop was maybe just about, maybe 10 or 15 seconds away, right? So I'm like, you know what? The bus is slowing down again. I can get off now. So I got off. And then the bus was going. I was rolling along with it. I was like, oh, this is more embarrassing than ever. Yeah, anyway, I didn't like it. But then now I cannot live without DACO, you know, just that. But, you know, I used to call it the dark ages of my life, you know, just really, it was horrible, you know. That's when, you know, as teenagers, and usually time and you just kind of begin, your eyes kind of open, and you're like, you start seeing the life, understanding life, but then, wow, my life is going to suck. I contemplated many times with my friends. Maybe church, maybe you guys were expecting something so great from this church, right? And this year we had a new senior pastor, right? And wow, you know, something is happening. I've been preaching a lot last year. God is doing something new in this church. And then, here we go. And the senior pastor happened. It seems like nothing much is really happening except for moving offices. You're like, what's come out of it, right? You know, what good possibly can come out of it? You know, is the place, unlikely beginning. You're ascribing something, you know, you're aspiring for something so amazing in you, and then you hear about God's grace, you hear about God's direction and His power and His plan for you, and then you're like, but the way that I look at it, it's like, not much. And what good possibly come out of it? Maybe you are in that place. Maybe you are in that place. Maybe you are in the place right now because you have come to join the church for the very first time. You've been going through this church the very first time, but you just feel like your heart is not clicking. You've been suffering with a lot of things. You've been, you know, juggling with many different options and ideas and thoughts. And, you know, maybe you feel like at this time that, you know what, something is not happening here. Where is God? Where's God's grace in this house? You may be wondering, what good can possibly come out of this situation? You know, that is what they exactly talked about Jesus too. What good can come out of Nazareth? They heard that Jesus is from Nazareth. And they said, what good can come out of that tiny town? It's up to no good. They said, Jesus, you're up to no good. You know, they waited for Messiah. They were waiting for the conquering warrior to set them free from all the captivities, because, you know, their life, their history now has been, you know, from Babylon, Assyria, from Greek, right, from the Romans, they're just, you know, just going through, their history was just going through oppressions. Year after year, they were looking for Messiah anytime now, but it was not happening. But they're given this promise, beautiful promise of Messiah. It was not happening. I wonder if every year they look towards it, every time they come together to worship, so where is that promised child? Where is that promised warrior who will restore the peace to our nation? But then when they look around, chances are not going to happen. They get up in the morning, the Roman soldiers, they'll drag them, you carry this for me, they will have to carry. High tax was just bombarding them. A lot of oppressions. They would come and with the signs of eagles and then, you know, defile the Jerusalem. They were mad about it. They come and they steal the treasury of the temple. They're upset about it. You know, they each and every day as they long for, you know, Messiah to come, nothing was not really happening. I wonder if every year they look towards that promise, but disappointed. But then came Jesus. Here was God's answer for them, right? A child in a manger. a child in a manger. That was God's answer to this conquering warrior who will restore the peace. God's answer was just a child in a manger. You know, Jesus said, I am going to build my church. I am going to build my church. He said, I am going to build my church. And then the church started. As we look through this book together, Book of Acts, church was happening. They didn't know, they didn't even know what to call it, but church was happening. You know, the meaning of church is, the call out of, they called, right? You know, it was not really like institution like what we have today. It was just gathering. Wow, God called us out, right? To be God's family. Church was happening. But then what happened? And then chapter 2, chapter 4, things were happening really great, right? People are just sharing. The Holy Spirit was moving. And then we start seeing the persecution happening in the Book of Acts. And finally here, chapter 7. Great persecution happened. Stephen was martyred for the very first time. You know, they didn't know what to do with it. And they say that everything, they all scattered. That happened, and boom, all the Christians dispersed all over the places. They dispersed everywhere. And what happened to this church? I thought we had this great movement happening here. And what happened? Well, I thought that we were going somewhere with this, but then, whoa, God, what happened? Why are you allowing this? Unlikely beginning of church. But they had a promise. I will be there with you, and I am going to build my church. You know, justice was being restored. The community was being restored. Faith was being restored. But why now all this great persecution is happening? Why are they dragging, you know, all these Christians away and destroying church? They had to run away. Unlikely beginning. Yes, persecution. Yeah, we can take that, right? You know, they were beat up. They were put into prison. But destroying church. Why? You know, think about it, guys. You go to school. You know, you go to school. You're like, wow, it's a good school. And you go there, and then semester after, the school closed. You know? And you get a good job, and you get a good job and a good company, and then, like, maybe after the first quarter, you know, they filed bankruptcy. Right? So that's exactly what's happening here. They joined this great movement. This is good. You know, everyone was signing up for that, and then, boom, just like that. They're closing door, and they have to run away. They're all scattered. They feel like they're on the losing end. But then we find, as the story continues, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, he ever so prospers. The gospel of Jesus Christ ever so prospers. You know, unfavorable situation cannot deny what our God can do. Undesirable circumstances can't reject God's power. Unlikely beginning is not an exit sign, but it was something for even greater. What we see in the Book of Acts finally is completing the pattern. In the beginning, chapter 5, we see that the believers multiply. In chapter 6, we see that disciples multiply. Finally, in chapter 8, after this, church begins to multiply. You know, the Satan came, they tried to destroy God's church, but the wickedness got turned it around for something even greater. Now, not only that, you know, the Christians were flocking towards Jerusalem, now they're going everywhere. Now church was multiplying everywhere. Now it was happening everywhere throughout the Roman Empire. Throughout the Roman Empire. You know, When a door closes on you, watch out, guys. Watch out. Because God is about to work. God is about to work it. You know, maybe you're looking at something bad in your heart right now, and something bad in your life right now, and you see a situation that is just working against you, and you feel like, you know, you just wish that it didn't happen, right? Watch out. Because God is about to work. All you have to do is humble yourself. Humble yourself and see where he is working. Because he's working. Because throughout the church history, we see again and again, God never fails to work. God never fails to save. God never fails to redeem. Century after century, God has been proving his point to you and me. Nothing in this world can deny him or reject him. They tried to kill him, but they could not kill him. You guys follow me? That is our life. That is our history. That is our DNA. Situations, circumstances cannot deny God's favor that is in your life. Particular relationships that is really hurting you cannot deny God's power. God is always, always, always at work. He can turn unfavorable situation to into a situation that manifests God's glory each and every day. Each and every day. We have to open our eyes instead of allowing the situation, instead of allowing the world that is collapsing around you, close your eyes. Now open your eyes to his greatness, because he is about to work. Yes, church was closing in Jerusalem. And after that, we find that along the way, the book of Jerusalem, the church was going through, they needed so much financial need, and the church around there provided for them. Yes, great persecution was happening here again and again. But look what God is doing outside, right? Maybe one door is closed on you. Maybe you're saddened by it. Maybe opportunity, you lost opportunity. But guess what? God can open another door for you, right? Maybe you are going through, maybe you are in the place of an unlikely beginning in your life right now. But look up. Look up to where our help comes from. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's pray together.